New affirmative consent laws were passed in the Victorian Parliament just yesterday. This will change the way sexual assault cases are dealt in Victoria, shifting the focus away from the victim towards the accused. Under these laws, penalties have increased for stealthing, which is the act of removing condoms without a partner's knowledge, and also distributing intimate images. Although the state government has described these reforms as providing better protection for victims, changes have been met with a mixed reception. Cindy Yin has more.
Affirmative consent is based on the idea that consent is actively sought after and given by all parties during a sexual act. However, Dr. Rachel Burgeon, lecturer at Swinburne Law School and an executive director of Rape and Sexual Assault Research and Advocacy, says that these new laws don't actually achieve affirmative consent.
They go, I guess, halfway to achieving that, but they fall flat on a few of the key issues, and particularly around the requirement that a person takes steps to make sure the other person is consenting at the time of and throughout a sexual act. The law does not achieve that. And so without that, we can't say that it's affirmative consent.
Similarly, Tanya Wolf, president of the Law Institute of Victoria, says that these new consent laws were not as significant as the reforms passed in 2015 and aren't necessarily a real improvement due to how convoluted the legal framework is.
We don't think that they are an improvement to our law in relation to consent at the moment. Now, we think that they don't necessarily further the reform that is being sought by the legislation. And we think that because we think that they complicate an already complicated and nuanced area of the law.
Dr. Rachel Burgeon says there is great potential for systemic reforms to be made beyond just the legal sphere, suggesting that a more holistic approach would best tackle these issues.
We need to see investment by the government to restorative practices. We need to see prevention. We want to stop violence before it occurs. We don't do a good job of that. We want to see comprehensive relationships and sexuality education in schools, in the community. We want whole of community approaches. Those things we don't have yet. But we can't legislate our way out of the crisis of sexual violence. We need more nuanced, holistic approaches to preventing violence before it occurs.
To further combat this problem, Tanya Wolf suggests focusing on education and the impact it could have on cultural norms.
So right now, throughout schools in Victoria, there is a concerted program to educate young people about consent, what it means, what it doesn't mean, how you have to be sure that someone is consenting. But I think that, you know, there is a whole piece to be implemented in relation to that, and particularly in relation to young people where there is nuance involved, and very rarely does intimacy flow from a series of contractual agreements that are affirmed in a statement, particularly when it comes to, you know, these kinds of matters. And to have to establish that now, I think makes it very difficult, very convoluted, and really quite unworkable.
Many also believe that the law is not an appropriate vehicle to respond to sexual violence due to this idea of proof beyond reasonable doubt. This legal term essentially means that if a member of the jury has reasonable doubt for the guilt of the accused, then they must acquit. Dr. Rachel Burgeon also says one of the biggest challenges are rape myths and misconceptions surrounding survivor testimonies.
Basically, the acceptance and widespread acceptance of what are called rape myths. This is exactly what it sounds like. Misconceptions that are commonly held but are wrong about sexual violence. We know that these types of myths play a role in decision-making among jurors. And that is something that the law needs to challenge and must challenge. And that's probably the biggest barrier for sexual offences, alongside the idea that witness evidence and the narrative of a victim isn't sufficient. That's, again, it's a myth about what evidence is and what evidence is reliable, and those are all kind of fall under that banner of rape myth.
Overall, despite the hopeful direction new legislation is heading towards, Dr. Rachel Burgeon emphasises the importance of seeking solutions beyond a purely legal framework.
Broadly, this is an exciting move by the Victorian government, but what we do need to see is we need to see more engagement and more meaningful engagement with survivors and experts on affirmative consent, not just legal stakeholders who are notoriously resistant to change.
Dr. Rachel Bergen, lecturer at Swinburne Law School, ending that report by Cindy Yin.